Well, this morning, we begin the final chapter. The final chapter of the book of Daniel. Thank you for allowing me to lead us through this book and through these chapters over these past few weeks. 16 weeks, not all of them in Daniel, but 16 messages in Daniel. I appreciate your kindness and grace in that. And I hope it's been a blessing to you. It has been a blessing to me, and I trust that some things have been cleared up, hopefully, and maybe some new insights and also some new reasons to dig in and discover for yourself more about what God is teaching his people through the book of Daniel. So this morning, I'm going to read through all 13 verses together, have a word of prayer, and then we will dive in as we begin to wrap up this most precious book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream, how long shall it be till the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time, and that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. Verse 8, I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, O my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? He said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. But go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days. Daniel 12, God's word for us this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today as we come to these words that are meant to give hope to your people of all time, but especially the people who will live at the time yet to come. Father, we thank you that you love us, that you have sent your Son to die for us, that we might have hope for today, for tomorrow, and for eternity. Through our faith in the finished work of Christ, your Son, upon the cross, through his resurrection, the new life that he offers to those who will believe in him. Father, today as we look at these final words of the book of Daniel, we pray that you would guide my heart and mind, that I may speak your words to encourage and inform your people, that we might be encouraged and have hope for the future. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Parting is such sweet sorrow. famous line from Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet that gives voice to the idea that goodbyes can be bittersweet. We hate to say goodbye, for the moments of the past were wonderful. Our time together, that whatever we might be saying goodbye from, was wonderful. And yet we look forward to the time where we can say hello again. We're wrapping up the book of Daniel. We're saying goodbye for now, at least from the pulpit, from the book of Daniel. We've worked through each chapter, discovering the calling of God's people to have an unrelenting faith in Him as the God who is sovereign over all kings, over all kingdoms, and all the events of all people's lives. God is God. He is in control. We can trust in Him, especially when things are difficult and chaotic. And so in wrapping up these messages in Daniel, we're also going to finish the final vision. The final vision given to Daniel began in Daniel chapter 10. And we talked a lot about it for the past 2 weeks, the actual vision itself in Daniel 11. And now wrapping it up here in chapter 12. It's a vision in which Daniel received a prophetic word about the future of the Jewish people, the actual descendants, physical descendants of Abraham. Not just those by faith, but also the people of Israel. A word given to encourage them to have an unrelenting faith in God as they are going to live through some difficult circumstances, some oppression and persecution as they are ruled over by the Gentile kings and kingdoms of, in Daniel's day, the future. And even yet into today. As we looked last week in Daniel 11, 36 through 35, we saw that this future that is yet to come, even for us, involves a figure from Daniel 7, the little horn, who we know of as the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and Revelation 4 through 19, the beast, the Antichrist. Daniel 11, 36 through 45 describes some of his actions and character. And Daniel 12 is going to continue a little bit of that, but the focus is more on the hope that God has given to his people who will live under the rule and reign of that Antichrist, that unnamed king. It has come to my attention that several of you, were wondering about one key prophetic event that did not get mentioned last week. Wondering, was that on purpose, or do you not believe in that? Well, no, it was on purpose. I did not mention the rapture of the church, because the rapture of the church is not found in Daniel. It's not found in Daniel 10, 11, or 12. It's not in the Old Testament. It is a part of the mystery of the church that was not revealed until the time of Christ and the apostles. But today we need to look at that just a bit. What is this rapture of the church, and where is it mentioned? It is mentioned by Jesus in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, I believe, by the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 through 18, and by Paul also in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 53. You can look that up. Many of you, I believe, are very familiar with that. That great event, the rapture of the church, is something yet to come, because we are all still here on earth. We are not in heaven present with the Lord. Still something yet to come, and it is longed for by all believers. And I believe that that rapture event will occur before the arrival of the man of lawlessness, before the arrival of the unnamed king, before the arrival of the Antichrist, which I think is described for us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Which is the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel chapter 9. Remember back a couple of weeks ago, we looked at Daniel chapter 9, and he was told about these 70 weeks, these 77s that were to come. These are the 70 weeks that are to fulfill the indignation of God against the people of Israel for breaking the covenant, the sevenfold punishment against Israel. And there's one week that has yet to be fulfilled, and that time is briefly described here in the first four verses, three verses of Daniel chapter 12. And before that time occurs, I believe that the church is taken up out of the world and into heaven to be with Christ until he returns with his feet actually on the earth. This is an event that we should long for because God has not appointed his church, the body of Christ, to endure his wrath, but not just endure his wrath, to not endure his wrath for something that we had no part in. We are not of the nation of Israel. We are a separate people. Now, yes, we are all one in Christ, Jew or Gentile. Yes, Jews can be saved by faith in Christ today. Yes, we need to proclaim and evangelize the Jews. But God is not yet finished with the nation of Israel. And he is going to finish his time with the nation of Israel during that final 70th week, which is yet to come. We experience, as the Church of Christ now, God's loving discipline. And yes, we do experience persecution because Satan in the world is against God and against Christ and against the gospel of Christ. But we do not pay, we do not endure God's wrath for sin. That occurred at the cross where Jesus took upon himself our sin. We're going to look more at that specifically next week. The rapture is an event in which Christ will call all believers who have died to himself. They will be resurrected, and then those who are alive at that time will ascend to have also resurrected bodies and be with the Lord forever. When does the rapture of the church occur according to the New Testament? I believe it occurs before the moments that we began talking about last week in Daniel 11, 36 through 40, and what is going to be referred to in verse 1, at that time. It's coming. We long for it, and we should pray that Christ would come, but it will come at its appointed time by the Father. So far as Daniel 12 is concerned, there is no mention of the rapture event. But I believe that if there were, it would come in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. But I'm not rewriting the Bible, don't get me wrong. But that's where I think that if it would have been mentioned, it would be here of all places. So let us look at what is this hope that God has given for his people for the future. God's people have hope for the future because of, first of all, verses 1 through 4, God's promise of protection and deliverance. Look at verses 1 through 4. At that time shall arise Michael. At that time. This is referring back to the time that was described at the end of chapter 11 with the rise of this unnamed king. Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And this shall be a time of great trouble, such as never been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time, your people, the people of Israel, the Jewish people, shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. At that time, verse 1, crucial words pointing us back again to Daniel chapter 11. That is, in this grand vision given to Daniel from chapter 10 through 12, is when the unnamed king, the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, is introduced. It is before that time that the church will be raptured. What might this look like then in the grand scheme of the teaching of the Bible, the whole Bible, about what is to come at the end? Well, I think it might look something like this. We have our current time, the church age, right now, this day, 2026. Yet to come is the rapture of the church. Following that will be the rise or the arrival of, at least maybe publicly known to the world, the rise of this Antichrist, this unnamed king, this man of lawlessness, which will also introduce the 70th week of Daniel, also known in the New Testament as the time of tribulation and great tribulation. At the end of that time, Israel will cry out for salvation because the Antichrist is going to be like against the Jews and against any believers at that time during that tribulation period, and he's going to try to wipe them all out, and believers are going to cry out to God for salvation and trust in Jesus as that Messiah, Savior, Redeemer, Deliverer, and he will come. That is the second coming of Christ. And we will come with him, I believe. Following that, there will be a resurrection of tribulation saints. More about that in a moment from verse 2. That following that, a sheep and goats judgment. Jesus talks about in Matthew 25. Following that, the millennial reign of Christ, thousand-year reign of Christ, where the King of the Jews, the one true, perfect, almighty King of all creation and of the Jewish people, will reign on earth for 1,000 years. And he will rule with an iron fist, a rod of iron. His word will be law. Satan will be released at the end of that time. There will be a new rebellion that will be put down mercilessly by King Jesus, who rules with a rod of iron. Following that, there will be a great white throne in which all of the wicked will be judged, and all whose names are not found written in the book will be thrown into the eternal hell, the lake of fire, Revelation 20. And following that, a new heaven and a new earth where all of the redeemed of all time will be with the Lord forever. This is what we have to look forward to. This is the hope of the future. And Daniel 12 covers just a little bit of each of those things. And I'm going to try to piece in where some of these things fit in here with Daniel 12 as best as I can. There is hope for deliverance for God's people. The promise of protection and deliverance. And it continues with verse 1 and verse 2. It's at this time, the final week of Daniel 9, the 70th week, that Michael is going to arise. And so during this final week, Michael is going to be doing what Michael has been doing for centuries. He is going to be defending the people of Israel in the spiritual realm, because the people of Israel are under attack by spiritual forces, both on earth and in the spiritual realm itself. He's going to defend Israel so that God's appointed plan of purging and the final refining and redemption of Israel, the Jewish people, will occur. And after the beginning of that 70th week, which is truly 7 years, somewhere around 3.5 years into those 7 years, there's going to be a time of trouble such as never has happened before. Jesus talks about that. In fact, he talks about it in Matthew 24, that in his Olivet Discourse, that had that time not been shortened, it's going to be so awful that God shortened it. It's a time when Antichrist will be extremely vicious in his dealings with the Jewish people and all those who proclaim Christ and do not follow him, do not follow the Antichrist and all the things that he does. It will be a time of great trouble for everybody, but especially for anybody who does not follow the Antichrist. So after introducing the time frame, Daniel's also told that the Jewish people, his people living at that time, will be delivered. And we think, great, this is awesome. This is meant to be hopeful, to give hope and encouragement and comfort. But deliverance does not always mean that we will not, or people will not, suffer, that there will not be struggle, that there will not be persecution. And he says, everyone whose name is found written in the book of life, the book of the redeemed. We sing every once in a while that old hymn, is my name written there? Is your name written there? The book that is written in heaven, that is the name of every believer of all time who will enter into the new heaven and the new earth. How are these people to be delivered? Well, verse 2, many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth, meaning those who have died, they will awake. They will be resurrected to either eternal life, blessing, millennial kingdom, new heaven and new earth, or eternal contempt, punishment in the lake of fire. This is the great deliverance of the believers during that great tribulation period. I think verse 2 specifically is referencing those who will live through that time of the Antichrist, and that those who are faithful to God, believing in the Messiah, will be delivered. Some will be protected to live through that time and enter, just walk straight through into the millennial reign of Christ. Some will die and be resurrected. And I think that's a reference that's being referenced here in verse 2. These are the ones, according to verse 3, who were wise. They had an unrelenting faith in God, in the gospel, in the Messiah, and they also demonstrated that faith by sharing that same gospel, even though it could mean their life. Antichrist does not put up with anybody else following anybody else other than himself. He's full of himself. And Jesus, I believe, here is telling Daniel that, yes, this people will be delivered. They may suffer. They may suffer even unto death, but they will not betray me, and I will raise them. Some, however, will at some future time be raised to everlasting contempt and punishment. I don't think this is a general resurrection of all people. I don't think it's meant to say that this is a resurrection referencing all resurrections. This is a particular resurrection of tribulation saints, and I believe also, as we'll look at verse 13, Old Testament saints raised at the end of the tribulation period after Christ has come, as he comes to deliver his people, finally putting an end to the Antichrist and his reign. They will come to life and enter the kingdom of Christ. The many who were wicked will be shamed. They will find judgment during that final judgment, the great white throne judgment of Revelation 20. I believe that's when all the wicked, all the unredeemed, all whose names are not written in the book will be raised and will face their judgment and then enter into the final and eternal hell, the lake of fire. I think it's also during this time of resurrection, or just after it, that the sheep and goats judgment takes place. After Jesus comes with the armies of heaven on his great white horse, with the word of his mouth, he defeats all of the armies of the Antichrist and the Antichrist and the beast himself. They are cast into the lake of fire, and there is a great judgment. And those who are alive at that time, who did not die throughout all of the stuff that happens during the tribulation period, will be judged. Those who were with and for God and his people will be ushered into the millennial reign. And those who did not and still alive, were not a part of the armies of the Antichrist to be defeated by Christ at that moment, they will be judged and eventually sent to the lake of fire as well. The righteous of verse 3, they shine. Why do they shine? Because they purified themselves by trusting in the Messiah, trusting in the gospel. The gospel message will be proclaimed at that time, that seven-year period, by angels, by Jewish witnesses. The gospel will be proclaimed. Many will come to faith in Christ, and they will shine in that moment of darkness, those years of darkness. They will shine also because they share the gospel with others and lead them to follow Christ at a dark time, not betraying Christ, not following the Antichrist. It's a time when God's people will be delivered in a variety of ways, ultimately through resurrection, at a time of great peril for God's people, as he is dealing with his people finally during that final 70th week, that final 7 years, that final great tribulation of 3.5 years, which we'll get to that in just a moment. But that is how the vision given to Daniel, this final vision, ends, with the purified, raised, and entering into life and into the millennial reign of Christ. Verse 4, then, is final instructions about what to do with this vision. Daniel, I've given you this vision. Now, this is what I want you to do with it. He's instructed to preserve, seal up, shut it up, so that nothing can be added to it or taken away from it. Seal it up, preserve it for the future, for future peoples to look at. Because there's going to be a time when the people living through this period are going to need these words, which are given just for them, specifically for them. Jesus is declaring here to Daniel, there's going to be a time when people are going to want to know what's going on with the chaos in the world. Is this the end? Is this what's going on? Are we living in that time? And they were going to seek, they're going to search. And those who seek and search according to God's word will find the book of Daniel preserved by the Lord, by Daniel through the Lord, through his people, so that the people living through these moments can see this is really what's going on and fully understand and have faith and believe and trust and be delivered. God's people have hope for the future because of God's promised protection and deliverance. He does not give up on his people. It doesn't mean it's always pretty in this world, but what is coming is far greater than anything that we could ever imagine, the promise of deliverance and life to come. That protection of deliverance, that promise of protection and deliverance, also comes with God's promise to end suffering. Let's look at verses 5 through 7. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream? How long shall it be till the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream, and he raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time. And that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all of these things would be finished. The bulk of the vision and prophecy has been given. Daniel is going to see, though, a few new figures that we haven't been introduced to before. Whether he saw them earlier in chapter 10, we don't know, but he's writing about them now. And somebody asks this figure who is above the river, the Tigris River, how long till all these wonders end? How long till this is over? So the main thing in verses 5 through 7 here is the question, the answer, and the manner that the answer is given. And these are really important. The question Daniel overhears from somebody we do not know, Daniel did not know, but is given to the one who is standing above the waters, who I believe is the Lord himself, pre-incarnate Christ. How long will the time of trouble last? The time of trouble referred to in verse 1, at that time, from its beginning to its end, how long is this going to take place? And the direct answer comes in verse 7 and 11. But before we get to the direct answer, the way the answer is given is really critical. The Lord, the man clothed in linen, takes an oath. He raises his right hand, which is what we normally do when we take an oath for really, really official stuff. Congress, court, whatever it might be. But he raises his right hand and his left hand. And he swears by him who lives forever, the Most High God, the one and only God who lives forever. He's swearing by himself. By my name, I will make sure this happens exactly as I'm going to tell you. You can count on this, Daniel. If you can count on nothing else, you can count on this. And God has done this before. He has sworn by his name that what he says will come true. We, the people in the future who are really going to need these words, because they're going to live through these words, needed to know that this is without a doubt absolute truth from the Lord himself. He's telling the reader again, yes, there will be suffering. Many will die for their faith. They will not take the mark of the beast. They will not give up the names of fellow believers. They will not give up and betray Christ or one another. But that time of suffering, as always, has an end. And its end will correspond with the greatest deliverance aside from the cross of Christ, the return of King Jesus. The Lord says that the time of great trouble will be for a time, time, and half a time. We looked at that back in chapter 9, I believe it was chapter 9, meaning 3.5 years. A time meaning a year, times 2 years, and half a time, 3.5 years. That is when the shattering, the breaking of the power of the holy people will come to an end. The holy people, the Jews living in that time, the believers who are probably Jewish, most likely, and some Gentiles, at that time, the time of the Great Tribulation, when they are at their breaking point, when almost all seems lost and they have no hope but to call out to God, save us or we are gone, that's when the time ends. The great time of tribulation will be the final 3.5 years of the final week of Daniel 9. Why? Remember, this is the final 7 years that's still all about God's judgment against Israel that began in Daniel chapter 1, 605 BC, when Judah went into exile because they had forsaken the covenant with God that began all the way back in Exodus. You are our God, and we are your people. And they walked away from that many, many times. These events are referenced also in the book of Zechariah, chapters 12 through 14, and Revelation 19. That time of the end when Jesus comes and delivers his people. There will be an end to suffering for God's people at that time, and there will be an end to suffering for all people when Jesus comes and puts an end to all that causes suffering in this world. True deliverance that will last for eternity, a true end to Israel's and the Jewish people's suffering, occurs when they as sinners finally call upon the Lord for salvation. And it's a good time to ask, Because we need to know for sure. Have you called upon the Lord for salvation? Have you looked to Jesus Christ as the one and only Savior from the penalty of your sin? Because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us deserve to pay for eternity for our sin, to suffer for our sins, because God is an eternal being, and one infraction against God is an eternal infraction, deserving of eternal punishment. That's why the man who would give his life had to also be God himself, because only he could take an eternity of punishment in a moment for any who would believe on him. Have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your one and only Savior from sin? Seeking forgiveness, repenting, turning away from your sin, getting down off the throne of your life and saying, Jesus, take over, because that's exactly what needs to happen. He is the true King. Is he the King and Savior of your life? God promises protection and deliverance for his people, those who have faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior. And he also promises an end to suffering for sin for those who confess and repent of those sins and turn to Christ. He will be with us now as we suffer and endure, but he will also end all of that suffering for the consequences, the power, the temptation of sin, even for eternity. Trust in Christ. That is where true life, true freedom, true deliverance comes. But we're not done. There is more here in Daniel chapter 12. God's people who have faith in his promised Savior, Jesus Christ, have hope for the future because God's promise to purify and to bless, verses 8 through 13. Now, I often say God's people, and I do mean us. The overall principles of chapter 12 here are true even for us, even if I believe we will not experience much of what's going on in Daniel chapter 12. But we are still purified and blessed, as was mentioned earlier. We go through the sanctification process of walking with God day by day as he shapes us into the image of Christ. But at that time, God's people are also going to go through a time of persecution and purifying and refining and eventually blessing. Look at verse 8. Daniel heard the oath. He heard about the time of the end, when it will come. But he says, I did not understand. He doesn't still quite get it. And so he asks the man above, the man in linen above the water. Oh, my Lord, what shall be the outcome? What is the result? What is the purpose? What is the outcome of all these things? And notice what he's told. Go your way, Daniel. For these words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. But go your way to the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of days. What is Daniel being told here? What is going on? Daniel's heard what the Lord has said, and now he's going to get God's promise to purify and to bless. He admits, though, that I don't get it. I don't understand. What do you mean by all of this? He wants clarification about the final result, the purpose that the Lord has told him. But the Lord tells Daniel in verse 9, Daniel, this is not for you. Do not be concerned about this. These words, these things are not for you or the people of your day right now. I mean, some of them have been, yes. But these final words that God has been given to him through the Lord in chapter 12, these are not for you. You're not going to be there. You're not going to experience this. This is, again, another reason why I think the church is not going to experience this moment, this final 7 years that is being referred to here. These words are meant to encourage and give confidence to the Lord, give confidence to the Lord for them to the people of that time. These words are for a people in a time yet to come, for Daniel and for us. So Daniel is told to go back to life as normal. Get back to your life with an encouraging word. many will be purified, verse 10. Many will be refined. Many will be made white. Well, what does that mean? That means that many will be believers. Many are going to trust in God. Many are going to trust in the Messiah. They will be saved. They will be delivered. They will be resurrected. They will be in the kingdom and in the new heaven and new earth. The gospel message will be declared. It will be believed in by many, even though many will reject it and many will suffer. For Daniel, that is great news, because many of Daniel's people, the Jews, will be saved. There will be a time when Romans 11, 25 through 27 will be literally fulfilled. A time when the nation of Israel, as it stands at that moment, will cry out to God for salvation and they will receive it. And all Israel at that time will be saved. But there's a warning here too. There's going to be many saved, but there's going to be many wicked. And they will not accept, and they will not understand the gospel. Those who are wise will understand the gospel. They will follow it, and they will be faithful. But there are many wicked who will not, and they will oppress, and they will be against your people, the people of that time who believe in Christ. And I think this distinction is even more noticed when the Antichrist in verse 11 takes away the temple sacrifices. That's when the 3.5 years of the end of the seven begins. That's when the temple is basically made useless, just like it was during Antiochus the IV reign that we talked about a couple weeks ago in Daniel chapter 11. He's a type, he's a prefigurement about what the Antichrist is going to do and behave and be like, but Antichrist is going to be much more exponentially worse. He's going to make the temple of the Jews a place where nobody can go and worship anymore, because he's going to say, I'm God and I'm going to take my place in the temple. You worship me and nobody else. And you might be thinking, well, how does that work? Because there's no temple, right? There's no temple yet, but there will be. Well, how can there be a temple if we're supposed to worship Christ? We are, but there are Israelis, there are Jewish people today who don't want anything to do with Christ and they want to go back to their Old Testament temple sacrificial system. And they're going to be allowed to do that apparently for a short period of time, but that will be taken away because those people will not believe in Christ. Antichrist is going to make himself to be God, take his seat in the temple, proclaiming himself to be God, just as described in Daniel 11, 36 through 39. And again, the Lord reveals how long those days will be. And he says this time in days, not just in times, but in specific days. 1,290 days to be precise. Now that is actually 30 days longer than 3.5 years. 3.5 years, counting 360 days per year in ancient time figuring, would be 1,260 days. But Jesus says here, 1,290 days. What's going on with these final 30 days? Well, I think that the 1,260th day is the day Jesus returns. No, I'm not saying it's going to be happening on this specific day. I don't know the month or the day. But that 1,260th day, after the abomination is set up, the sacrifices are taken away, Christ comes. But there's 30 days left. What do we do with those 30 days? Well, technically speaking, your guess is as good as mine. We don't know for sure because we're not exactly told, but I think that there are some events that we are told about that are not given as an exact time frame. And I think that one of those is the resurrection of verse 2, tribulation saints and Old Testament saints, get to that in a moment, resurrected in verse 2 after Christ comes back with the church to finish off the Antichrist. It's over. Now we have this time period before the millennial reign of Christ actually occurs. Resurrection, Old Testament saints, tribulation saints, and then the sheep and goats judgment. We're not told exactly when those happen. I think it's very likely they happen here in these 30 days. But yet we're told something else about these days as well. But I mentioned Old Testament saints being resurrected at the time of verse 2, which I think happens shortly after Jesus returns and annihilates the Antichrist and his armies. I think that's when Daniel will be raised from the dead. Look at verse 13. You shall rest, meaning you will die, Daniel, and shall stand, not just rise, but stand in your allotted place at the end of days. There's another time when that phrase, allotted place, is brought up, and that is in reference to the inheritance of the people of God for the promised land in Joshua. In the book of Joshua, they conquer the promised land, and the land is distributed. The tribes are given their allotted places. Daniel is being told, you will rise, and you will enter into your allotted place, millennial reign of Christ, the fullness of the Jewish kingdom, Jesus' kingdom on earth. He will rise again. And I think it happens here during these 30 days. But there's another set of days, 1,335 days. What about these days? Well, I think that they include the 1,290 days. So it's not another 1,000 days or so. I think it includes those, but it's just a little bit longer. So Jesus is basically saying there's going to be another 45 days after that 30 days. What's going to go on during those 45 days? And notice he says in verse 13, blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. Well, what is this in reference to? Well, what's the next thing to come? I think the next thing to come is the actual millennial reign of Christ. 45 days after that resurrection, 45 days after that sheep and goats judgment, is when the kingdom begins on earth. Now, what's going on during that 45 days? Well, it could be Christ setting up his kingdom. Christ setting up, kind of renewing the earth in reference to the chapters in Isaiah talking about this future time that is to come when the kingdom will be on earth, when the lion will lay down with the lamb. All of those things, I think, are referenced and will occur during those 45 days. Now, I could be wrong. It could be something entirely different, but I think it fits perfectly with what we're given. And I'd love to have a chat with you about it if you have another idea. But that is what brings us to the millennial reign of Christ. 1,000-year reign. Old Testament saints, tribulation saints, and believers in the church ruling and reigning with Christ. Living in a perfect world. No sin, no temptation. Tempter's gone. He's in prison for 1,000 years. But at the end of those 1,000 years, he will be released, and there will be a time of temptation again, and there will be a rebellion against God again, which will be squashed in a moment. It will come to nothing. But yet God has appointed that time for his purpose. We have hope for the future. God's people have hope. The Jewish people have a hope for the future. He is not finished with them yet. He will refine them, bring them to faith in Christ, and then we will all enjoy our time. Millennial reign of Christ on this earth, living under the rule of King Jesus. What are we to do with this? Well, we are to have hope. The future, our final destiny, is filled with blessing. Blessing beyond compare in the millennial reign of Christ and the new heavens and the new earth. We do not have to be anxious about the times between now and then. We know who is in charge over all Gentile kingdoms and kings and presidents and wars and rumors of wars. All these things that happen that make us go, what on earth is going on? And they freak us out. We do not need to be freaked out. I mean, I get it. I am too, to a degree. But death is not necessarily a bad thing for Christians, for God's people. Death is just the doorway into eternity. When we see Jesus, it might be not a good thing to feel from this moment, but as soon as we enter, it's like walking through into a pool. You know it, and there's relief. We will find that relief in the day when we meet Christ. We need not be anxious. Trust God, study his word, apply it, be one of the wise ones who leads others to wisdom in following Christ, being faithful and holy disciple makers. Remember that our prayers and our living out our faith has an impact on others. Our lives are to be lived with grace and power and love of God and the hope of Christ for the blessings that are to come for God's people. I trust you've been encouraged this morning. I trust that these words through the book of Daniel are an encouragement to you and lead you to an unrelenting faith in the God of salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for these words. We thank you for this time. And even though there's so much more that we could talk about and clarify, I pray that these truths would be encouraging and comforting for us, your people, and for those who hear this message. I pray that if there's anyone here today in the sound of my voice who has yet to turn to Christ, I pray that these words would lead them to at least seek to know the truth about what it means to be saved, what it means to face judgment, what it means to be forgiven, and trust in Jesus, the one and only Savior, that they too might have the hope for the future. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving your life for us, that we might have eternal life and spend eternity with you. And I pray that we would begin to live that life even now, seeking to be more holy, seeking to be disciple makers, sharing the gospel, leading others to faith and trust in Christ. It's in your name we pray. Amen.